Appreciate those that are online now. Glad to have you online with us. Let's open our worship service with a prayer, please. Father God in heaven, we're thankful for the great opportunity that we have this morning to study your word. And Father, we pray that if there is one present this morning that's not a Christian, that they may make that decision today and become a Christian. Father, thank you for all the blessings of this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So glad to have all of you here and have some visitors. And we always have visitors. And we appreciate visitors. And I'm going to open the rest of it with some scripture here. This is from the Epistle of Jude, 1st chapter, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning your common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unawares, and long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into the lewdness of and deny the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. But I wanted to remind you that though once you knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
Let's all sing together hymn number 709, How Sweet, How Heavenly.
How sweet.
Next, we'll sing hymn number 744, God's Family.
We're part of the family, that's been born again.
before we're led in prayer, we'll sing together hymn number 711. Blessed be the tie that binds, and then we'll go to our Father in prayer.
Bless me.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and all-wise Father, we come before you with just so thankful to be in your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that are present, that come out and to be in your presence. We also give thanks for all those who are meeting throughout the whole world this morning, dear Father, and looking to you. Father, we need you more today than ever in our lives. Lord, we just ask you that you will help us to be a light upon our community. Help us to be a light among our peers at work, our friends at school, and all that we do, dear Father. We just pray that you'll help us to lean upon you more than we ever have. And we need you, our country needs you more at this time. Father, we give you so much thanks for sending your son to die upon the cross for all of mankind. Lord, we're in awe. This is what he went for and the sacrifice, the love that he had, that he showed. We pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to bond closer and closer within this congregation. Dear Father, to meet anything that comes our way in the future. But knowing that we have, just put our complete trust in you, that we have everything that we need, dear Father. We pray that you'll be with us as we continue to go on with this service. Help us to just block out this time that Tim is about to bring a message from your word. And again, thank you for your love. In Christ's name, amen.
Before we have our scripture reading and Tim brings our lesson this morning, we'll sing together hymn number 853, When We All Get to Heaven. If you would please stand with me as we sing this song together.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of joy will be.
Please be seated. If you're marking in your songbook, our hymn of invitation will be number 904904.
The children's training class is ready to, if you'd like to take your children to them. And Renee Gillum has requested if she could get an extra, some extra dads to attend it this morning. The scripture reading this morning will be from the book of 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 7:1. This is the English Standard Version. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 7:1. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we all are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
God has blessed us in many ways. One of those ways that many of us can say we've been richly blessed is family. My wife this morning in her note, she always writes me a note of encouragement every Sunday morning. She said, we were both blessed to have good mothers. And that is true. We were both blessed to have mothers who taught us the truth and made sure we were there to learn about God and about Jesus. And they're both gone now. But we know that we were blessed. And to all of you this morning that are mothers, let's begin by saying Happy Mother's Day to you. You are a blessing to us, and we're so thankful that you are here and are doing your part in carrying on the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know many of you are without a mother now, your biological mother, and some just fairly recently, others, maybe it's been a while. But it makes me happy to read what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30, I believe, where he talks about if we've left everything for him, we will have 100-fold. And one thing he mentions is mothers. And so to be a part of the family of God, the church, is to have mothers, all kinds of mothers. And so thank you for being a mother to me and many others. And we want to honor you today as you are here with us. But not just today, but every day. But we're so thankful that you are here with us. We have many visitors with us. Some of you are visiting as a way of honoring your mother. And we appreciate that. We're glad you are here and invite you to come anytime. She'd be honored every Sunday if you'd come. And one in particular we want to note is a fellow that's come from Virginia to be with his mother, who not long ago was in the hospital recovering from a liver transplant. Tim Stiltner is here. Raise your hand there, Tim. He's up here on the front. This is Pat's son that we've been praying for the last several weeks. And God has truly blessed him, and now he's doing well. And we're just very thankful. I know nobody's happier than Pat. Well, maybe Tim is, but we're very thankful for the way these prayers have been answered. But we're glad you're with us today. Whatever your reason for visiting with us, and we hope that you'll come back and join us anytime you can. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. We're going to look at a lesson tonight called The Remarkable Faith of Elijah. And we're going to look especially at his courage. We'll do another lesson on Elijah soon. But in this particular lesson on the remarkable faith of Elijah, we'll notice his courage. Where did that come from? And we'll be looking at that. I had originally thought that we might do this outdoors, but it looks like it could rain, and I'm not brave enough to do that. So the courage is missing on my part. We'll meet inside, but sometime very soon, I think we're going to have that opportunity to again worship outdoors. Get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God and see the things there that God has for us. And as always, they will be helpful and they will be applicable. God gives us things that apply to each one of us. Now let's begin with this hypothetical assignment. The assignment is you've got to wear that white blouse, that white shirt, to a very important engagement later in the day. Your job is to keep it spotless. And you see the photo up there, and you think, well, that's a bad mistake already. If I'm going to eat spaghetti, I better not be wearing a white or a light-colored shirt, because you'll know it later that I've been eating spaghetti. Now what's that about? Are we preaching about spaghetti today? No. But we are talking about holiness. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. And here the writer says, this is one of our main objectives in life. It's not to keep our clothing clean, not in the physical sense, but in another sense, yes. Look at Hebrews 12, 14. Strive. And that word strive is from a word that means give it everything you've got. Make sure you accomplish this. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Did you get that? The holiness without which no one will see the Lord. The point is very obvious, isn't it? If I want to see God, especially in eternity, I mean, that's really the only way we'll be able to see God face to face, then I've got to achieve holiness. And it can be done with the help of God, with the help of Christ and his blood that washes away our sins. But he says, strive for that. Make that your main objective in life. And James will use the image in James 1:27, talking about religion that is pure and undefiled before God. Keep your garments unspotted in this world. So the idea of, you know, not eating spaghetti when you're wearing a white shirt, that's kind of the idea. Because we're going through a world full of stains. And our objective is to remain unspotted. So the text that was read to us earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 by Mark talks about this idea of holiness, and it uses a very powerful image, a very clear image of being yoked. Be not unequally yoked together. Let's look at that together and let's think about what it means. Now, again, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. And here right away is the image. What does it mean? He says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So there is an image at the very beginning, don't be unequally yoked. Now, a lot of us haven't had much acquaintance with farm life. And so we may wonder, what is that all about? Well, the idea is a yoke which binds two animals together for the purpose of common strength and laboring together. It may be based on the idea found in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 10. Although the word yoke is not here, here's what the law said. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. Now, what is that all about? Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because an ox is a very large animal, very strong. A donkey is also strong, but not nearly so much. It's not nearly as big. And so it would just be wrong to yoke those two together. That's the idea of Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Now, this is found in Erdman's commentary on the Bible. It says, plowing with an ox and a donkey yoked together will put unbearable strains upon the donkey. Again, prudent management expresses concern for the weaker of the two animals. In other words, they're not the same. And so one of them is going to be very much at a disadvantage. The stronger one will overpower the weaker one. And then also I found this from a writer named Felicia Masonheimer on crosswalk.com. She said, to be yoked together to two oxen that are joined by a wooden bar in order to complete work together. Being unequally yoked means that the two oxen are not equal in strength, one being weaker. When oxen are not equally yoked, they cannot complete a task together well. And again, that's not hard to understand. Take two of us in this audience, and we're given the same assignment of bearing the same burden. One is much stronger than the other. Well, you can't expect the weaker one to accomplish the same objective. They're just not capable of doing that. And so that's how Paul begins. Going back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that's the image. Now, what is it all about? Why does he use that image? Again, 2 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 14, this time reading through chapter 7 and verse 1. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, here's the conclusion he draws in chapter 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, what promises? We'll go back and look. He said, they will be my people, I will be their God, I will dwell in their midst. That is a major promise. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And that's just like what we saw in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Without holiness, we're not going to see God. And that's why we want to bring holiness to completion. Why we don't want to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's the whole point of that image, is if I align myself with someone that doesn't think the way I do, that doesn't love the way I do, then before long, I become like them and I lose the holiness for which I was aiming. Now, let me give you two or three quick illustrations of this principle from the Bible. And you probably already are thinking of one or two of them. But let's begin in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Here we have the people of Israel about to enter the promised land. And God is giving them instructions through Moses. Here are the things you shall do, the things you shall not do. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 and 4. You shall not intermarry with them. Talking about the people that lived in Canaan, they were idolaters. They were wicked people. That's why God was casting them out. Do not intermarry with them, God says, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons, for they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you and he would destroy you quickly. There's the idea of being unequally yoked together, is I now begin flirting, dating, getting serious about somebody that does not believe in the true and living God. In fact, they're very devout when it comes to idolatry. And I think, well, I can still hold on to my religion. And yet God says, they'll turn your hearts away. Don't begin. Don't even go down that path. Don't put on that yoke. But be strong and be committed to me. Well, in Judges chapter 14, we find one person that didn't heed that advice. Judges 14, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about Samson, a man that was gifted by God with great strength. I mean, incredible strength. But he didn't always use his wisdom, didn't always do what he knew was right. And on this occasion, this is what we read in Judges 14, 1 through 3. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Philistines were part of that idolatrous group of people in Canaan. Then he came up and told his father and mother, I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. But his father and mother said to him, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. Was it because they knew the law of God that Samson's parents said, you really shouldn't do this? This is not a good idea, Samson. You ought to be looking for a wife from among our people. But whatever the reason, Samson said, I want this woman. And it goes on to say that God knew that he would have an opportunity to judge many of the Philistines through this woman. But ultimately, that was the non-Jewish women that was his downfall. And we know about Delilah. And if only Samson had made the right choices about this, he might not have gotten into that problem. But again, you see, that's yoking. One who is not our equal. That is somebody that doesn't believe in God. They believe in other gods. Don't get in the yoke with them, God says. And then the most famous example of all, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. And this is a man who was blessed with more wisdom than anybody on earth during his time. And yet look at what it says. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart
after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How sad. Solomon knew the will of God. Solomon could have avoided all of this. But he didn't listen to what God said, and instead put on not one but many yokes, many foreign wives that turned his heart away from God, so that he established idolatry right there in Jerusalem. It's a pattern that you see repeated throughout the Old Testament. Even though God made clear you are to be a people separated from idolatry, yet over and over again, the people of Israel went down that path and were entrapped, they were enslaved, they were oppressed, and yet they never seemed to learn the lesson. God's way is always right. Now, the donkey is not as strong as the ox. And to put them in a common yoke means that either the ox is going to be slowed down or the donkey is going to be dragged along. You just don't do that. And when it comes into entering relationships with people that do not share our values, our faith, how do we think that we're going to be okay when we are so deep into that relationship? So let's talk about the need for Christians to be careful with our relationships. That's really what this is all about. The need for Christians to be careful with our relationships. Luke chapter 7 verse 34. Let's begin right here, because some may think, well, Jesus didn't practice this. Well, I think he did. Let's look and we'll see what Jesus himself said there. Luke chapter 7 verse 34. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him. A glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And why did they say that? They saw Jesus was often among people that no respectable Jew would ever hang out with. I mean, these are sinful people, notoriously sinful. And look at you, Jesus, you're right there with them. Aren't you being unequally yoked with those sinners? Well, Jesus accepted that title, friend of sinners, thankfully, because we are sinners. But he did not let sin overpower him. He was always the leader in those relationships. He knew his mission was to be strong, to take people closer to God. And what a blessing Jesus was to all who are sinners, including you and me. And so, no, it's not a violation of the principle there. Yes, we need to follow Christ in that respect and be around people that are not yet Christians and try to bring them to the Lord. We're talking more about looking to people and saying, I want to be like that. I want to have what they have, no matter what the cost may be. That's the kind of relationship we've got to be very careful with. So let's talk about being careful. Let's go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, I know you know this psalm very well. The very first statements in the entire book of Psalms. And look at the emphasis placed on relationships. He says in Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And you see what we're talking about there. Those are the people we associate with. We're hanging out with them because we like them, or we want to be part of the in crowd. We want to be thought of as among them. And he said, blessed is the person that does not make those his influencers. And then he goes on in verse 2 and says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's the influence this person seeks. The term influencer is a very hot word right now in social media. There are people that will appear to try to influence us to buy this or to go to this place or whatever it may be. We've always had influencers. And a lot of them have always tried to take us down the wrong paths. And that's what he's saying there, is be very careful who it is you allow to influence you. Is it the Word of God? Is that your major influence? Or these other people that are sinful, that are scoffers, that are all of the wrong things? Number one is God. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, a book of wisdom. Even though Solomon later went down the wrong path, there was a time he was a very wise man, and here's a part of it. Proverbs 22, look at verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. And what does that mean? It's his nature. It's not really his nature. It's the path he's chosen. He just allows himself to be overcome with anger all the time. He could do better if he chose, but he doesn't choose. He just gives vent to his wrath, and doesn't matter who he hurts in the process. He says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Why not? Lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. That's what's going to happen. If we put ourselves in a yoke with someone who is a wrathful person, we're going to become like them, or we're going to get caught up in the problems that result from their anger. And again, that's wisdom. Are we listening to the wisdom of God's word? And once again, in Proverbs, go to chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 1. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. And here again, you're looking at people that are not living for God. It's pretty obvious. You don't have to look long to know they're not righteous people. But boy, you like the things they have. And they seem to have all the fun in life. And so, yeah, I want to be with that crew. I'll still be a Christian. Will you? Because it says, don't be envious of evil men. Don't desire to be with them. Why not? Because they're going to lead you down the wrong path. And that yoke will put more of a burden on you than you realize. And then probably the passage that we all know about, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, sums it up very clearly. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, where he says, do not be deceived. Now when it says don't be deceived, that's a red flag. Because people often are deceived on this point. What is it? Bad company ruins good morals. Oh, I'm stronger than that. It won't drag me down. How many times have people said that? And then they got drugged down. Paul said, don't be deceived. Influencers will influence. And if they are not living for the Lord, if they don't care about righteousness, that's the direction they're going to pull you as well. Now, does this apply only to in-person relationships? I don't think so. I think it applies to virtual relationships. And what do you mean by that? Are there people that you really pay a lot of attention to that you've never met personally? Maybe it's an entertainer. Maybe it's somebody that performs in one kind of art or another, and you think, oh, I just love what they do. I want to be at their concerts. I want to go watch their shows. I want to be at the movie. And we just eat it up. And yet, what are they teaching? What is the overall influence that they're bringing? And again, it may be those influencers that we see on social media, if that's what you're into. You got to be really careful, because some of them, even though they may have millions of followers and millions of likes, what's the real nature of what they're trying to sell? Is it something that you, as a Christian, a child of God, ought to be partaking of? And so it's not just our in-person relationships, it's our virtual relationships as well. And so I want us to go back one more time to 2 Corinthians 6 now. 2 Corinthians 6, and let's focus again on the latter part of verse 16 through chapter 7, verse 1. And here is the whole idea of what we've got to really focus on. And I pray this afternoon, this evening, we will meditate on the law of the Lord that we've been talking about. Here it is, 2 Corinthians 6, the latter part of verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. Are you a Christian? You're the temple of God. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, talking about the sinful people, Go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Bringing holiness to completion. May I inject you with one cancer cell? Would that be okay? And I would be surprised if anybody would say, yeah, sure, give it a shot, go ahead. I don't want a single cancer cell in my body. And that's the idea of bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. I don't want anything of the world that will taint me, that will stain my white garment. I want to be pure. And I know I can do that with the help of the blood of Christ. 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17. Here is the choice. It comes down to this. It's not a hard choice to make. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, pride of life, is not from the Father. It is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The choice. Do I want to be friends with the world? Well, I want to get along. I want to be able to influence people around me to become Christians. But I don't want to be thought highly of just because, hey, I'm cool. Or I do the things other people do, or I dress the way they do. I don't want that, because those are things of the world. I want friendship with God. I got to be careful about the choices I make and the influences I welcome into my life. This applies to every single person in this auditorium right now, everybody that's watching us online. This applies to every one of us. And we need to meditate on these things. Are you a child of God this morning? If you've not yet been washed by the blood of Christ, we urge you to make that decision today. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you're willing to confess that before this group today and are willing to turn away from your sins, repenting of them, determined not to go down that path again, then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the clear teaching of the New Testament. So simple, so brief in time, and yet what eternal consequences it will bring. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or have the influencers of the world pulled you aside? You may need to repent this morning. You may need to confess sin. We'll pray with you. We'll love you and encourage you. Whatever we can do to help, please come as we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace, His power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?
We're always welcome, happy to welcome new people into our family here at Central, and that's what we're doing this morning. For the last few weeks, we've been seeing Sonia and Jamie Batchelder with us in worship and Bible study. And some of you know them from their years at C Street Church in Elizabethan. Others know them because Sonia is the aunt of Ashley Ryan and the sister of Sherry Pierce over here, a sister-in-law of Sherry Pierce. But we're so happy that they have found in us a place they want to call home. They met with a couple of our elders this morning, and I think they passed. So we're going to say welcome. Where are you, batch elders? Stand there for us for a moment. Yeah, everybody be sure to meet them. A very good couple, Jamie and Sonia Batchelder. And I promised I would also embarrass Ezra Haas. Ezra was baptized a few days ago into Christ by his grandfather Calvin Carr, but he wasn't here a time or two afterwards. He was at Lads to Leaders and some other, the retreat, I think. But this morning we're going to embarrass you, Ezra, so would you stand for a moment and let everybody welcome you into the family here at Central. We are so glad that you made that decision. And I've also seen some others here that I hadn't seen earlier that have been absent because of illness. Ted Mowry is back with us this morning. Ted's been down a very difficult path these last several weeks, but now this morning he and Ruth Ann are with us. And Ted, really good to see you back with us today. We also were praying for Mary Carrier. This is Melissa Jacobs' mother. She was in an accident a few weeks ago, and she's here with us this morning. And probably others I haven't noticed or said anything about, but we are happy that you're here. But would you bow with me now as we go to God in prayer? Our God and our Father, we praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful and great. And Father, we just thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who can wash all the stains from our souls by his blood. May we never forget, Father, the sacrifice it took to wash us clean, and may we always follow in his footsteps. And thank you, Father, for this family, this church that he bought with his blood. And thank you this morning for these that have become part of our family now, for Sonia and Jamie. We're thankful, Lord, for their years of service and for their desire to be a part of our family here. Help us, Lord, to welcome them into our family and to serve alongside of them. And thank you for Ezra and for the decision he made recently, Father. We pray that he will be strong in this commitment, that he will grow and thrive and be a wonderful servant of yours. And thank you, Lord, for all of these that we have mentioned who have recovered from illnesses or injuries. And Father, we pray they will continue to be blessed and bless others, Lord, that we are concerned about. We pray, Father, that they will be made well, bless those who have lost loved ones in recent days, and give them comfort and peace. Lord, we need you every moment, every day. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a moment, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. Before we do that, let's sing together hymn number 454, Rock of Ages, and then we'll share in that.
Rock of Ages,
We now come to part in our worship where we're able to share the Lord's Supper together. And as we share this, we have a moment to reflect back on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that he made willingly for us. Before we go to God in prayer, I'd like to read a few passages that describe some of the gifts that were freely given to us because of Christ and because of his death on the cross. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, it reads, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, it reads, "And, having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness." And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we take this bread that represents your Son's body on the cross, we are so thankful that you sent your Son to earth. We're thankful for his ministry, for his example. We are thankful for his time on the cross and the agony and the shame that he had to endure as he carried the burdens of sin. And dear Lord, we are so thankful that because of that sacrifice that you dwell in our hearts today, and that every day we are able to experience your fullness and your love and your grace. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now take the fruit of the vine that represents your Son's blood that was poured out on the cross, dear Lord, as we take this, we recognize the power of your Son's blood. It washed away our sins. It allowed us to draw near to you, to have a life with Christ, and it gives us the hope of eternal life. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go, God, in prayer for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, you have blessed us beyond measure spiritually, and you've also blessed us physically with the nation that we live in, with all of our needs provided. And dear Lord, we pray that as we give back a small portion now, that we do so cheerfully. And dear Lord, we pray that what we give back, it will be used to continue the ministries of your church, and that those ministries will continue to be fruitful, and that souls will be brought to your kingdom. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the service that we've had available today. We pray that you help us through our life's journey as we commit ourselves to Christianity. Bless us, Father, and bless those, everyone here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few announcements. Please pick up your communion cups and throw them in the trash as you leave. Smiles for a Child box are available to pick up. Please get these boxes and fill them up and have them back by next Sunday, May the 21st. If you have any questions, contact Ann Boer, Gay Clark, Jane Fillers, or Kathy Higginbotham. Please sign up to be a teacher for the summer quarter, which will begin in less than a month. If you have any questions, please contact Adam Maurer. Congratulations, high school class of 23. We are honoring our graduates with baskets that can be found in the Vista Center. Please show them you love them with cards and other gifts. The upcoming events here at Central are Washed in the Word Ladies' Bible Study every Thursday at 10 a.m. Friendship Walk at Willow Springs Park every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., weather permitting. Dorcas Group, May the 4th at 1 p.m. Women's Circle, May 26th at 5:30 p.m. The Transform Ladies Conference will be in September 8th through the 10th at the LeConte Center at Pigeon Forge. If you have any questions, please contact Georgianne Green or April Heaton. Remember these in prayer. Jan Shepherd has been undergoing excruciating pain in her back and legs during a trip to Jacksonville, Florida. We have not had the late update, but keep our sister in your prayers. The family and friends of Buzz Reynolds are mourning his passing yesterday. Buzz, the husband of Brenda McKinnis' late cousin Martha, had struggled in recent days following a fourth back surgery. In the aftermath of the surgery, he coded and never could recover. Please see the bulletin and daily focus for more information and prayer. We're glad you came today, and now we're dismissed.